This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello once again, everybody. Welcome to 2019 and an all-new episode of the Polykill Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. I am Travis, sitting across from the one and only, wearing a banger t-shirt, Jake. Hello, Jake.
Hello, Trav. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, sir. How are you doing?
I'm well. I've been on a nice long vacation from work.
We're doing that.
Yeah.
Same vacation.
Vacation. Yeah. I don't like vacay.
Yeah, me neither.
That's a little redundant.
Is it? Is that what that word means?
I don't know.
A little redundant?
Yeah, a little redundant. I said one the other day. I said semest to abbreviate semester.
For semester.
I hated myself for that one.
I hate you too.
But it's still funny. Anyway, I'm doing good. Nice long break.
I had a sore tooth.
I've had a sore tooth. It's been a problem.
Got a jizzy socket.
I don't know what happened. But anyway, feeling good. Not extremely well rested because I've been staying up too late. You know how you do.
Oh yeah, man.
You know how it is.
Oh yeah. I mean, I know from the standpoint of like vacation,
right?
That you would stay up late. Yes. I have no sleep schedule anymore.
Correct. You do not.
And a lot of it's a little bit of my own doing. Like,
sure.
I still, on top of being a new dad, like to have my me time. So I'll push my me time into the wee hours and just murder myself real bad.
It's not good.
I'm not productive the next time I'm awake.
Right.
But hey.
Such is life.
YOLO? People still saying that? YOLO?
No, they're not.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, if you're new to the show, Jake, what can people expect here in 2019?
We're going to talk games beaten. Games obtained.
Games obtained.
We're going to talk about our collections a little bit.
Yeah, the collections of video games.
Yeah, we collect those video games, but mostly video games. I mean, that's kind of what we're here to do. It's what we love. It's what brought us together. That's the bellows that forged the fire of our friendship with video games.
Little too deep. All right, so I started a new YouTube channel.
You did.
I'm not going to remark on it long here because it doesn't benefit Polykill.
It kind of does. It could.
If people maybe find that, and then I just like a air traffic controller with my neon sticks, just point them back to Polykill and be like, hey, this is where I really want you.
Yeah.
But really what it is a, I won't go as far as to say like a well-researched podcast.
It's good.
Podcast. Look at me. I'm still talking about podcast. video series, but I'm really interested in the NES library. I always have been. It's fascinated me as a kid. It seemed so big and vast as a kid, and I wanted all the games as a kid, and lo and behold, we were poor, and I got like four of them.
I gotcha.
But I've always been fascinated by what's out there, and you know, now I'm collecting all of them.
Right.
You know, that's what I'm doing. So I'm going to go through that library and really for my own well-being, or not well-being, but for my own curiosity and
gratification,
dig in deep, find out a little bit more about these games. Not just are they good or bad, but like what led to them, what was before them, what was after them. That's sort of where I'm at, what I'm doing with it, what they're based on, what they're derived from.
And they're nice and concise. I like that.
Thank you. Yeah. I try to keep them short.
Brevity is helpful when it comes to anything.
My face
anything
isn't
like that
in it. I know that's a plus.
No, it's not.
That's that's nice of you to say. But inspirations from my favorite YouTube channel, SNES Drunk,
right,
who gave me a shout out, which was very sweet.
That is very cool. I mean, how many tweets did you tag him in before he gave you the shout out?
Just one.
Okay.
But I also hit him up on Patreon and told him it was coming. So
nice.
So I paid for it. But, you know, it's good. It's fun. It's been a good outlet for me. There's a lot more to come. Hopefully
good.
It's something I stick with, but not going to dwell it on much here. But point yourself to Ness Friend. Give it a subscribe if you care to, if you're into the NES, because that's all it's going to be. It's not going to be anything else but that.
Very cool.
Yeah. And then, Jake, you made a video here recently.
I did. I finally got around to making an update to my Switch collection. It had been a while. I think September or October was the last time I put up anything. And obviously, I accrued more since then. I didn't go through everything that I got live in the video because it's just, you know, no one, I don't think, cares to see all of that because there was not a substantial amount, but more than I felt would be comfortable. Yeah, substantial. But yeah, detailed a few of the big pickups that I got and a couple of cool collector's things, some games I don't even know anything about that I have. So I'm pretty excited to play those. And so check that out if you get a chance.
It was a neat video. And it was a few chuckles in there. You're very good about being subtle about it.
I try.
It's very good.
I try very hard to be funny.
And that reminds me of Caleb J. Ross. He and I, and of course we poke a little bit at
we
Caleb
do
in this
we
video,
do.
But he and I did a little spoof video a while back.
I do remember that.
That
was great.
That's also, so go check out Caleb J. Ross's channel. He does a lot of really good stuff.
And he's great at it.
It's very underappreciated, so
please
go check it out.
I agree.
All right, let's get into the meat of the show. Let's talk about some collection pickups. You don't have to go into detail about every game we pick up, but the ones that look good on our shelf.
Sure.
And occasionally played.
Yeah, yeah.
I picked up, I went on a little bit of an eBay tear.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned this.
Almost accidentally. Okay. What I found.
Did you just like fall into your computer and it just opened up an eBay window?
Yes.
Okay. That seems like an accidental way to get on eBay bids.
Yeah, I did it all from my phone. I had baby in left hand scrolling, just hot thumbing through eBay with the right hand.
I got
what
you.
I found was, because it was Christmas.
Chris Christmas.
Christmas Day.
Oh.
You know, Christmas Eve through Christmas Day. And what I found was a lot of people by Christmas have already spent the money they have for gifts okay. or acquired what they're going to get.
They're not spending anymore right now.
Right. Or they're kind of displaced. It's Christmas. They got their family to worry about. They're you know, okay. whatever. I found that 4 in the morning is a great time to be bidding and finding some games.
On Christmas Day.
Or Christmas Eve, that or little window
okay.
of time.
Okay.
Wasteland out there. Oh. I won so many bids on some really good stuff. I got some that I haven't quite picked. Like, they haven't arrived yet, so I haven't listed them here.
Okay.
But I did end up with a complete in box Monster in my pocket.
I don't even know what that is.
It's an NES game. Monster in My Pocket was actually a toy line that the game is based
it
on
sounds
way
like
back
it.
In the Dizzy.
Yeah.
But CIB won for maybe a quarter of what it goes for.
Wow,
it
a quarter?
I was a little worried.
25 cents. That's incredible.
No. More of a fraction of its going rate.
1/4 of its total value.
Correct. And, okay. You know, I thought when it came here, it would just be a pile of wadded up newspapers
sure.
and I had been lied to.
Okay.
Because sometimes I'm like, did I just not read the whole eBay listing?
And I've done that.
Like they show a picture of something like in big bold letters at the bottom. They're like, it's not what's pictured. It's actually a dead cat. And you're like, ah, what am I going to do with this dead cat?
Yeah. I guess I'll have to eat it.
I guess so. And, can't let
waste
it
not want not.
Go to waste. But no, and scored big on that. Also picked up Landstalker, which is another big...
That's very 80s sounding.
Well, sure, it's early 90s, but for the Sega Genesis, Landstalker, it's one of the few action RPGs on the system for
okay.
the Genesis, which was mainly
tragic.
A sports shooter
blast processing.
so that's one that I really wanted, and I got a really good rate on it. So I honestly almost did so well at eBay that I was broke.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
I bid low. I was like, there. I'm not going to win any of these, and won like most of them.
That's
like,
incredible.
What the hell happened? So it's a good time of year. So
okay.
Little, you know.
Little tip. Don't
tip.
Sell. That time of year because you won't get your
you don't
potential.
Want to. I'm surprised people do.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Maybe they're ignorant.
It seems like they might be.
Good job.
Yeah.
So I picked up a few. Obviously, I did the pickup video, but I picked up a few since then. GameStop was having a buy two, get one free on previously owned games. So obviously, you have to take advantage of that.
If
you're a Switch guy. Yeah,
sure.
So it's perfect. So I picked up the Street Fighter II 30th Anniversary Collection, which I've had my eye on a while. I always felt it was a little overpriced at $40. So I think I got it for like 27. So I feel like that's a good deal. And then I picked up, Diblob 2, which I haven't played Diblob yet.
Day Blob. Oh, I don't.
Night Blob.
I don't know.
Day Blob fighter than Night Blob.
Are you saying?
Yeah. No, it's just Diblob. I really don't know much about it.
Yeah, it seems. We're both what?
It's a game.
Oh,
yeah. I got that. I got Rhyme, which is a game that I've already beaten. Obviously,
right.
I've heard the Switch port is abysmal. Don't really care because I'm not going to play it on Switch.
How could it be so bad?
Yeah, apparently it's terrible.
Huh?
Which makes me sad because
that's
I do
strange.
Like that game and I wanted it to do well.
I could see like Doom being bad or FIFA being bad. But
yeah, I just don't think they did a good job of optimizing it for the hardware. Yeah, a little sad on that front. So those were my pickups from GameStop, and I did do a couple of eBay pickups because there were some codes that went around for like 15% off of no matter what you bought. So I got a 2-pack of Party Arcade and some Aqua racing game that I realized I already had after I bought it, but it was fine. But I got both of those for $10.99 with free shipping, so that was a good deal.
Good job.
Yeah, because the total value of both of those games is like $50, according to GVN. So that was a good deal. And then I picked up South Park, The Fractured Butthole, and It'll Do 2 Plus.
It'll Do 2.
So yeah, those decent little
good
swarth.
Crop. Especially that, I've been curious about, I'm not a big fighting guy.
Right.
Fighting game guy.
Sure.
I will fight anybody in real life.
Bring it.
Badass. But yeah. Street Fighter 2 is sort of a... It's like an unconquered thing for me. Now, I went back and beat, like, I ran through it with a character, but it's always been this kind of mythos to me. And I think its 30th anniversary would be a good to really get, like, kind of sink in all of those different iterations and characters, because it's a big fan service title, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, I have to admit, like, was not, I guess, and I should say it's not Street Fighter 2 30th anniversary.
It's just Street Fighter. Right, right.
Because it does run the gamut from like OG Street Fighter all the way through like the last iteration of Street Fighter 3. So I may have said Street Fighter 2, but I didn't mean to.
Well, it's just you have that in the sheet.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it covers the gamut from...
Oh, the gamut.
Yeah, it covers the entire gamut.
French for gamut.
Yes, exactly. so yeah, it's got some cool like history stuff in there, some like concept art, it has a timeline that you can kind of scroll through, which is pretty cool.
That is neat.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I wish it had like a video doc, but that's not present. It's all text based, but it's still pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like you did well, man.
I'm happy.
Good job. The collection is strong. And again, please check out that pickup collection video.
Yeah.
To get the full appreciation of what's going on there with Jake and all of his paychecks.
Pretty much.
All right, so not much coming out on the radar, but what happened last time?
Previously on Polykill, heading into Christmas, Jake and Trav reminisce with listeners over favorite podcast moments from 2018. Jake finished a game, how about that? Red Dead Redemption 2. While Trav goes wild on the Game Gear. Will Trav or Jake achieve their 2018 resolutions in the 11th hour? Game of the Year and other superlatives serve as the topic of this year.
All right, and we are back. Games that we have completed. It's what we're all here for, Jake.
We're here to be games. That's the goal.
I think you're here to talk a little shit.
I'm here to talk a little shit.
What is the shit?
The shit is I beat more games than you do since the last episode.
So you beat them so hard you forgot how to speak?
I did. I've also had like several beers.
You've had two.
Celebrating the new year.
But the good news is you've beaten games. And I don't have to look for a new podcast partner in 2019.
That is true. We can remain active.
I'll remove that Craigslist ad post-haste.
Do it.
What have you beaten?
I've beaten some games here. What I'll say is that the Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection contains, I think, 12 versions of Street Fighter games. So starting with Street Fighter 1, Street Fighter 2, and then like the Hyper, the Turbo, blah, 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 all that stuff. So I went through three of those. And beat them with credits. So I'm counting three of those.
Okay.
So fine. Street Fighter 2, the OG.
Who'd you beat it with?
I beat it with Ryu.
Of course.
Because it's just kind of vanilla and it kind of works.
Come on.
And then I beat Street Fighter 3 New Generation.
Who'd you beat that with?
That was, man, her name starts with an E. Elena. I beat it with Elena.
Okay.
She's got like, she uses capoeira, so she's kind of dodgy and just kicks a lot, and that worked well. The final boss, though, kind of a bitch. Street Fighter 3 Third Strike Fight for the Future.
Did you beat that one?
That one I beat with... Man. I want to say...
Calling into question your beats.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember.
Beat it when?
Because I tried several different characters, and they all kind of run together in my head now.
Mm-hmm. You could have lied.
I could have,
for podcast
but I'm not a liar. I don't lie.
Okay.
I'm not a lying man.
Were they tough? Which one's tougher?
The third strike was the toughest one because you have like an ultimate ability that you can choose. So you have like the special meter at the bottom that you can kind of build up and then you activate this super ultra mega awesome move. And
is it called that?
Basically.
90s.
But yeah, the final boss, their super ultra mega awesome move is revival. So if you knock them out, they can just regenerate and get back up.
That's hateful.
Very hateful. Also, tough son of a bitch. Anyway, name is Gil. Doesn't really sound tough.
His name is Gil?
Gil.
I have an uncle Gil.
I know, weird, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, what I learned through playing Street Fighter 2 and then two Street Fighter 3 titles is that I love Street Fighter 3 so much more than Street Fighter 2. And that might be a hot take. Maybe it isn't. But Street Fighter 3, like... The two versions that I played, I have one left to beat to complete all of them that are in this collection anyway. I love them so much. They're so fluid. The stages are cooler. The characters are kind of cooler. Mm-hmm. I just love everything about them.
I think I've heard other people say that.
Okay.
And I think the reason that Street Fighter 2 is sort of the biggest one is just because it was the big arcade moneymaker.
It's recognizable.
Yeah, it's like people like the original Legend of Zelda a lot, but Twilight Princess is probably a better game.
Sure.
You know, so.
I gotcha.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. But that's cool. I mean, yeah. I haven't played a ton of those. I don't know that, because it's a fighting game, I don't know that I ever would really get into it. But I appreciate having all of it together and kind of soaking it all in and kind of, you can compare them. And
It was really cool, like, jumping from, like, the classic, like, you know, playing against Vega and M. Bison to, like, this almost entirely new set of characters. And, you know, Ken, Chun-Li, and Ryu return, but that's it. and like entirely new cast characters and new final boss and everything. It was really cool.
Nice.
It was cool kind of playing them in sequence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool, man.
Did you beat anything?
Yeah. You got me Super Bomberman R.
Right.
For Christmas.
Christmas time. Yeah, yeah.
And playing that game, I know that people, like, it got really bad reviews. Not like it got like middling reviews.
Yeah, people weren't warm to it.
A lot of people didn't like it, but I'm like, what were you expecting? Like, when I was playing, I'm like,
this is Bomberman.
Basically, yeah. A Bomberman game. I mean, I've never played a Bomberman game where I was like, best thing I've ever played.
Sure.
I've just enjoyed them, and this one was enjoyable. One of the neat things I liked about it was you can unlock characters from other franchises, which something that I don't know of a Bomberman game ever doing before. So I could play as, I believe Simon Belmont was one, so you have like a whip you can use and knock
really
out
cool.
some stuff. Yeah, gosh, trying to think, there were some other ones in there too that were really cool.
Nice.
And I think that's neat.
Sure.
It added to, I'm like, I don't usually replay things, but I started the game over with Simon Belmont, didn't beat it again, but I mean,
you
got a little more miles out of it.
Sure.
I like it. It's okay. It's not the best game, but I really don't see what everybody was like, oh my God, you know, we got the Switch, right? And it came with good games, but and it also came, I also got Super Bomberman R on it, and I hated that. I almost killed my whole family because it's like, why are you mad?
Yeah.
It's okay.
People are always mad about things. They enjoy it.
I might have taken that one too far, but it was, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's an okay game.
It's okay.
Also beat, do we want to save the big resolution one till the end here?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so this one has a little bit of a narrative to it. With
okay.
It. Monster in My Pocket.
You just got it.
I just picked it up.
Just picked it up.
And I knew that, you know, Mick and I hadn't played games in a while, you know, had the baby and stuff. Haven't been able to have friends over until recently. And I was like, dude, come on over. Let's play a little Nintendo before the new year, beat another game. And he was all about it.
Oh, so, hell yeah.
He comes over, and I'm a little out of practice with my drinking.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I haven't been kicking them back.
Right.
A lot of water and coffee for me lately. And,
no doubt.
And Mick's still in practice. He don't get out of drinking. You know, he's good. He's oiled up, ready to go. So he comes over, and we get dipping into the beers and playing this game. And the game's fun. It's a little side-scrolling sort of action beat 'em up.
Okay.
Made by Konami. It's not the best made game, but it's fun enough. I didn't have a whole lot of issues with it. And but we get to where we're getting a little more drunk, and Mickey, of course, has, you know, Mick, he has a very steep cliff on his drinkingness, so he can just be steady hard for a really
like,
good
how are you
while.
Still standing up, and then all of a sudden he is
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
There's no like Mick's going downhill. It's right. Mick hit the floor.
It's a precipice,
and we're playing, and you know, usually I don't do better than Mick, but I had been consistently you know, outperforming him a little bit all night, and I was like, we've been drinking the same amount. I don't think it's that. And so I get to the end one time. And I was like, all right, it doesn't count if I beat him. Let me just like see the pattern, and then we'll start it over again and play and get there. And we need to both get there and beat him, beat the final boss to count it.
Okay.
Well, we try that again, and he's just getting sloppy. I can tell he's getting real sloppy, and I'm like, God damn, I think I'm losing him. I think we might have peaked. And then, lo and behold, my wife sends me a text. She's like, can you come up here for a minute and help with the baby? And I was like, oh, this is perfect. I'll leave Mick. We'll take a break. Give him time to, you know, maybe sober up, reset a little bit.
Or fall asleep.
Yeah, or fall asleep. I'll go upstairs. Give me time to refresh and sober up. I'll down a few waters and rock the baby and you know,
scroll
try not
eBay.
To drop it because I'm a little hammered. And so 20, 25 minutes goes by. I keep texting. I'm like, hey, man, you're all right. I'm not getting anything back. I was like, ah, shit, okay. So I go back downstairs, and I'm expecting him to be asleep.
Of course.
Just passed down on the couch. But somehow, he's just standing in the middle of my room, drunker than when I left. I have no idea. Like,
that's incredible.
I could just tell by looking at him, because he just gave me like one of those, like, I'm not staring at you, but I'm kind of looking towards you kind of looks. And he's like, you ready to go again? I was like, God damn, this is not going to work out. Somehow, we end up getting to the end boss, and I did one of those same things where I like grabbed him by his collar and was like,
we made it, yeah.
He was just jumping around and flailing, and I was having to, like, coach him on every move. So, and I felt like I was micromanaging the whole thing. I'm like,
right,
get on the left. Now jump here. Now double jump here. Now get all the way to the right of the screen. All the way to the right of the screen. Now jump with me. Follow me. Jump. And, like, the whole thing just dictated every move he did. We ended up beating him.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. But and then he looked over at me and was like, can I stay here tonight? I'm like, it's 2:30. You're staying here.
Yeah, so you're not going anywhere.
Shoved him off to his own bed, but... It was quite a ride. It was a fun game to beat. I don't think it's a hard game to beat. We definitely made it hard.
You made it
to
much worse on yourself.
But I couldn't believe when I came back downstairs, I was like, how are you worse than when I left you?
That's
or did I
amazing.
Sober up and you stayed the same?
That's probably what happened, yeah.
I can't tell. But we did end up beating it, and that was fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I also beat, so that's this is beat number four for me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm keeping track.
This is The Gardens Between.
Gardens Between.
Gardens Between.
It's a Dave Matthews impersonation.
Gardens Between.
Oh, yours was better.
Yeah, a little better. I think that this game is getting some decent press. I think it showed up on Game Pass. It's on Switch now.
Catherine, Belief from Flock of Nerds, has
she
beaten.
Did, yeah.
Saw that tweet.
She kind of spurred me on to beat it, actually, because like I had it downloaded. I was like, I want to play this. It looks cool. And then, you know, she said, you know, go for it. It's a quick one. And I was like, well, let me do it. So last night, around midnight, I started it and I wrapped up close to 3. So it was, 3-hour beat. So not bad, but more extensive actually than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Really gorgeous game. Highly recommend that you play this. It's very simple to play in terms of mechanics, but it's a time bending puzzle game where each level is kind of this 360 degree island, and you have to manipulate time in one dimension and sometimes in another dimension to solve these puzzles. And the puzzles and the little levels are recreations of memories between these two kids that are neighbors, and you kind of go from like the day that she moved in next door. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you create all these memories together, and you kind of replay them through these puzzles. It's really pretty and got nice little soundtrack, easy to play. You can literally play it with one hand if you want to.
Why would you do that? What would you be doing with your other hand?
I mean, maybe hot thumbing through eBay.
Hot thumbing through eBay.
Maybe.
Very good idea.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, it's not demanding. So it was perfect for me last night. It was late, but
You wanted to just run up the score on me.
Wanted to run up the score?
Spiking the old proverbial Polykill football in my face.
You know how it is.
All right.
But I'm really glad I played it. I had a good time with it, and I think people should play it. It's gorgeous.
That sounds good. That's a good endorsement. I hadn't heard about this, so that's good. Where can you not play it?
You can get it on Game Pass. You can get Switch.
No, it's on Switch as well. That's where I would probably play it.
I don't know if there'll be a Fizzadish. I'm not sure how much love is getting.
Okay.
But we'll see.
All right, man. Is that it for games that are non-resolution impacting?
That is correct.
All right. So here's a fun thing.
Thing.
Was it December? Was it the day after Christmas?
It was the day.
Doesn't matter.
I think it was midnight on the 27th.
Midnight on the 27th.
So yeah, I think.
Well, earlier that night, I decided, I've been working on some NESFriend videos.
As you do.
And I was like, you know, I need to get in there and beat that Sega CD game.
You do? You got one more to knock it out.
Beat Sonic CD. And I was impressed that the Sonic CD even started. I'm always waiting for those capacitors to fail. And it booted right up.
Nice.
The game loaded. I found a copy of Snatcher in there.
Oh.
But it was a burnt copy. I don't know where it came from.
That's incredible.
Somebody burned me a copy of Snatcher and put it in my Sega CD. That was fun.
They love you.
So anyway, I started playing it, and I like it a lot. It's it's an interesting take on it. I've never played it. I've always heard people rave about this version.
Okay.
And it has some different twists in that you can manipulate, I mean, almost say manipulate time, but the stages can change like their era. They can be past and future, and so they can just look a little bit different.
Okay.
Which is cool enough.
That's
for
neat.
The era.
Sure.
And I think that adds a little bit to replayability. So, but anyway, ended up beating it, whatever, yada yada. Took a picture, put it on Instagram as a do, and then as soon as I did that,
yeah,
I get a text from Jake that was like, hey man, resolution 2018
with a check mark. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah man. And at first I thought you were talking about mine.
Yeah, congratulations.
I was like, wait. What did you do it?
Yeah.
And of course you can take it from here.
Yeah, I powered through, literally powered through Fallout 4.
Yeah.
So completed that, knocked
that big RPG
off the backlog, knocked that out of the resolution. So within minutes, we both completed our 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Which is great that we don't have to 69 each other's. What were we going to do again?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
We need to come up with some stipulations going forward for this episode.
It should be a challenge.
It really should be.
Do you have any more comments about Sega CD?
Or Sonic CD? Yeah.
Sonic CD? Yeah.
I don't know. It was easier than I thought it would be. So, okay. But I mean, I'm glad I played it and beat it.
That has like the animated intro, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it also has like the actual like the music track.
Okay.
It's like the Sonic Boom song. I guess that's where it started, which is actually really catchy. I let it play a little longer. Yeah, a little longer because it was kind of cool. But yeah, I have honestly not played many Sega CD games. I don't really have that many that I think are good.
Sure.
Aside from the Burnt Snatcher that I found. Sounds weird.
It does.
But I hear that this, you know, the Sonic CD is certainly upper echelon, if not one of the best titles on the system.
Cool.
And I can, you know, the Sega CD is a little marred for not being like head over heels better than the Genesis at the time.
Sure.
But Sonic CD was a fun time.
Neat enough.
It was cool.
Yeah. Especially now.
It was good.
Cool. Fallout 4, man, I got to say, going back, like when I loaded my save, it was from November of 2016. That was my save. It was over 2 years old. It was the last time I played that game.
Man, we've been a podcast for only a year at that point.
Yeah. And it took me a while to sort of reorient myself to the game. I was like, where am I? You know, why are all these cheese wheels in here? You know how you do when you play a Bethesda game. You save the game and you're like, what the fuck does all of this mean? But anyway, so I picked up and just started powering through. And I did the, I don't know, do I need to worry about spoilers?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I feel bad. Anyway, I did an ending. And that was just unsatisfying.
I don't know that there is an ending that is satisfying.
So, in general, the game was clunky, buggy. There was a couple times where like I was doing a quest and it bugged out and I had to replay an hour of the game.
Ugh.
And that really pissed me off because obviously I'm trying to beat it.
You got to power
through it. So I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, God damn it. So,
now, did you think that if it weren't for, you know, you started playing that one to achieve the resolution because you were close.
Yeah.
Do you think if the resolution were not there in place, you'd have given up on it, or would you have even chosen to play it at all?
I probably wouldn't have. You know, honestly, and this has little to nothing to do with the recent Bethesda woes that they've been going through with the Fallout 76 launch.
Some fumbles, some
blunders. Like, I think I'm realizing that I'm not much of a Bethesda fan. Like, I think I'm just kind of realizing that their structures are just kind of unappealing to me. At least is the way they were presented in Fallout 4.
I don't think there was enough improvement between
3 and 4.
Yeah. I liked 4 enough. And I get it that it was a game that was probably, it started development for, you know, in a previous gen era. I can cut it some slack here and there. I think, you know, a lot of what they do with their like quest structure is
that's the stuff that doesn't bother me because it's expected. It's just you know, like it kind of plays like garbage in terms of performance, and like I don't understand that, you know.
And narratively, that one in particular,
it felt
a little uninteresting.
There were some cool moments. I'll give it that. There were some cool moments, especially near the end, where there's some like, I won't say large scale assaults, but there's more than one person shooting at you, and you got more than one person shooting back.
That's always the thing: the build up in a Fallout game, and then the end up the epic battles are.
It's just like there's like, oh wow, there's now six people on screen.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
So like it tried to be epic, and I appreciated the attempts, but like in the end, I was like, okay, glad that's over with.
I felt the same way. Now, I had fun with some, you know, obviously exploring in a Bethesda game is one of my favorite things.
Sure.
Because you never know what you can find.
Yeah. There were some cool places like the Sea of Tranquility or what? Not Sea of Tranquility. What's that place? The Glowing Sea.
Glowing Sea.
That place was really cool. Like, it was gross and scary, and I was like, this is a good atmosphere. I like this.
Like, I sometimes wish Rockstar and Bethesda would sort of marry their worlds a little bit. Like,
sure. A little more
Rockstar's
fantasy.
Attention to detail and just how well their games tend to not bug the shit out.
Yeah, that's helpful.
And then also have like the interactive detail that a Bethesda game has. But, you know.
What do you do?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
You're going to beat it.
Yeah.
So congrats.
Yeah.
Glad you got that knocked out, man. I know.
But boom. I mean, we knocked out our resolutions. Have we ever done that?
Don't know.
I don't think we've ever won.
I don't think so. What do we do? Yay, confetti.
And I went for to suck each other. What were we going to do?
I don't think we have to do that now.
Yeah, good.
Thank God.
Yeah,
it's exciting. All right, so let's move it into the Just Beat It Shimon. Surprise, surprise. Dean at round_2_gaming. This episode's Polykiller, who has a bear hand and a lion hand and makes them chase each other around his naked belly. Finished Mega Man Zero, Twisted Tales of Spike McFang, Advance Wars, L.A. Noir, Adventures of Lolo 3, and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Yeah.
Good job. There are two games specifically on that list that are kind of lodged in my backlog.
Yeah, I know those two.
Advance Wars and Adventures of Lolo 3.
Those same, yeah.
I realize now, and I knew it before, but Dean is just a better specimen of a human being than me. I can't, there's one particular level in Advance Wars I can't get past, and Adventures of Lolo 3 is just a very difficult puzzle game.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard.
And it's humbling to get beat by a puzzle game. You know, you think eventually you'll get it.
Yeah.
I'm stuck hard.
I gotcha.
But Dean did it. So congratulations, Dean.
Very cool.
You are this. Now, there were some good poly killers out there. I know Tesseract Unfold gets some Ace Combat games. He's still got that
going. Still working on that, yeah.
Catherine was big on the CC Portable, the PSP collection, the Capcom collection there. So there were plenty of good ones out there. Obviously, we don't cover them all here anymore because it takes forever, and you guys are great at beating all these games. So we just highlight the big guys and a few select tweets.
Yeah. So up next is Church at the Game Grinder, and this is the best single word to describe this game as a whole is beautiful. Stunning visuals, a compelling world, atmospheric, melancholic music with fun and interesting gameplay makes a powerful gaming experience not to be missed. Hashtag just beat it. This is a game that is on my personal radar. It just launched on the Switch and PC.
Maybe you should learn how to say it.
Maybe I should. I just haven't heard anyone else say it. So I'm going to say Gris.
Seems like a Gris.
I don't know. G-R-I-S. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like that's not Grice.
Not Greece.
There's no E there.
Mm-mm. That's a Gris.
So yeah, I really know very little about this game, and I kind of want to keep it that way because I do intend on playing it probably soon.
I like this tweet. The reason I put it in here was because it sounds like something you would have said about a game.
That's fair.
That's the way your kind of cadence, you describe everything about it with all these fantastic adjectives. And so I was like, Jake might appreciate this tweet.
I do.
Church did a really good job of sort of selling it here.
Yeah, and a friend of mine that works at the music website that I write for, he just played this yesterday. And I was like, what are you doing with your life if you're not playing this? So
there you go. That's high praise.
Yeah, another endorsement.
I know that guy. He could be a piece of shit.
Ah, he's a total snob.
Rocket Sauce, that is Rocket Sauce, says, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, I liked it better than Rise. Combat was good and the game looked great, but the story was its weakness. It's no Drake.
Fair enough.
So it's no Drake, Jake.
I'm not expecting Drake, you know? Like, I get it.
Which Drake are they talking about?
From Uncharted.
Oh, that one. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. The story in those games are just amazing.
I am not deterred.
I'm still very excited to play this game.
A lot of folks coming down hard on this Tomb Raider game. It went completely under a lot of radars. I don't think it's been mentioned.
I think it reviewed well, though, in terms of critically.
That big price drop, I think, hurt people's feelings.
It may have lessened the reputation of the game.
Sure. But it's on that tier, I think, of big releases from 2018, Far Cry 5, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and Tomb Raider that were just overshadowed by a great year.
Right. God of War and Red Dead just kind of thwomped everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. That's very exciting. I want to play it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. And Flock of Nerds, Sniper Elite 4 is done. I almost didn't finish 3, and look where we are now. These games are a lot of fun. Just beat it. Polykill, Game Pass, Sniper Elite 4. All those are hashtags. Now, this is another Game Pass edition. The Sniper Elite games, I think we talked about this before. Nobody asked for them, but they keep making them.
I love it.
And it's cool. And I want to play it. You know, it's in Game Pass now. And just getting that X-ray kills of, you know, I think you can actually assassinate Hitler in this one, maybe.
And that's a lot of fun.
That would be really
cool.
Who
doesn't want to?
Exactly.
But the reason I put this tweet
it's
in here.
It's a great screenshot.
Oh, yeah. It's a fantastic screenshot. I think there's some game snobbiness out there that would say that this is, lump this in with some other of the military shooting drivel out there. But I would say I played, I can't actually remember which Sniper Elite I played. It must have been 3.
Okay.
I played it co-op, and a lot of those missions, co-op especially, was really fun. Like having to like cover somebody on the street with, you know, using a sniper rifle, and just getting those satisfying like headshots from you know, yards and hundreds of yards away. A lot of fun. I think those games were really good, even though, you know, you never
see... They do one thing great, right? And that's kind of what they needed to do, and they
finding a small glint on the screen and putting your
shooting
cursor
at
on
it. Yeah.
But, I mean, it is like an addictive kind of fun.
Sure.
I like them a lot, so I think they're perfectly fine.
Very
all right.
Cool.
So, if you like things, and you're perfectly fine... That was awful. Head on over to Caltech. Caltech is making robots and shit. Wow. What was wrong?
You turned into a robot.
Robot fashion. Jeez Louise. We at Caltech are starting, and we do not work at Caltech.
No, we don't.
Caltech wrote this. We at Caltech are starting to specialize in autonomous systems for agricultural problems. Some projects we've worked on in the past include assisting Virginia Tech in an international robotics competition in Abu Dhabi. Fun name. Consulting on an emergency medical software communication system used in emerging countries, and helping Travis beat Double Dragon 2 and also Monster in My Pocket. There is no software development project too big or too small. Drop Caltech a line at info@caldon.tech if you're interested in working together or curious to learn more. That is info@coweden.tech. And we'd like to thank Caltech again, once again, for re-upping for some more episodes.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for funding this effort and helping us beat games.
You know
and I
it.
Will say, as inebriated as I make Caltech sound on the regular, they're very, very good at what they do.
Oh, yes.
So I will say that. Agreed. All right. If you like what you're hearing so far, Jake.
Yeah.
What can you do?
You can find everything that we do on polykill.com. You can search Polykill Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You can find us there. Reach out to us on the forums of cartridgeclub.org. We're currently the games of the month for the Cartridge Club are Shantae Half Genie Hero for the Prime Cast, and the Portable Cast is doing Game Boy Color Shantae. You can drop us a line. Well, I don't know why I didn't expect that. You can drop us a line or ask us a question or share an idea through email at polykillpodcast@gmail.com. Please rate us on iTunes or whatever service you use. And that's time now to segue into a new bit that's kind of new.
It's four or five episodes.
It's still new in terms of the podcast. And that is the ground game. What do you have for us this week, Travis?
Right. So we hit Mall Santas hard. And I will say, just so happens, there are fewer Mall Santas than there are any other demographic that we've, I would say, attacked ruthlessly with this marketing.
Yeah.
And it showed. We didn't get a lot of pickups. Mall Santas turned out listened to a lot of Waylon Jennings. They are not interested in gaming podcasts. I would say there's probably not a Mall Santa out there that has ever played a video game. Confidently, I will say that. Maybe some Candy Crush.
Okay.
But nothing that this podcast would benefit them. So, again, I'm trying to regroup. I think this marketing attack will work. It's New Year's, Jake, 2019. What's the first thing people do in the new year?
They watch the ball drop, they pop champagne.
Yeah, and then the next day?
They're hungover.
Yes, and then after that?
They go back to work.
No, they
miss
feel
something.
Fat, and they go to the gym.
No. They go to the gym. Oh, you're
new
right.
New Year's resolutions. Now, you're in the
gym.
And you're, you know, maybe you're a regular gym goer, maybe you're in there, but you always see that person over there maybe struggling a little bit, and you kind of want to help them. You don't want to be rude. But
right.
I think it's not, you know, they're already in the gym, you know. What they need is something to get them through the gym experience. And I think an hour or so of Polykill can help them stick around and get the sweat they need to get.
Get it.
Let those people know. Say, hey, I like what you're doing over here. I've seen you at the gym. I'm proud of you. You're working hard. I expect to see you here day after day. Also, what is your podcast game like? Because that's what's going to get you through.
And honestly, what are people wearing in aside from like really good-looking people wearing great-looking clothes? They're wearing earbuds.
Every time.
Every time.
You know, and if they're not wearing earbuds, they're a psychopath. If you're working out to just gym noise, you are a psychopath. And so what you expect to see is people in there with their earbuds already in, ready to go. You say, hey, go to iTunes, polykill.com.
Boom.
Get swole.
Boom.
With Polykill.
Do it.
You got a lot to catch up on. If you just dedicate yourself to listening to this podcast while you're at the gym, you will be ripped AF
by
June, at least maybe April.
Yeah. Maybe April.
Maybe. I mean, if you're dedicated.
Hashtag just benched it.
Oh, yes. Hashtag just benched it. I know a 1AC Decepticon might take us up on that. Hashtag very ripped and sexual man.
Mm,
all right,
very
Jake.
Very exciting.
What have you been working on here since we podcasted last? You beat Red Dead Redemption 2. That's a big,
void
to fill.
Massive.
And you just
honestly
talked about Fallout 4.
I did.
What are
I
you
did.
Filling in?
Well, so I've been, you know, working on a little multiplayer stuff as I can. Played some Overwatch with Brian and David a little bit. Not much.
Are you calling our friend Dave David on purpose?
No, this is another David that you do not know.
He takes a full David.
He's
a David proper.
He is a David proper.
And if I called him Dave, would he be?
He would be upset.
Really?
Yeah. There's some familial reasons.
I don't want to meet him.
No, he's a great
I'm
guy.
Scared of him.
He's a great guy. Honestly, I've never met him.
I'm sorry.
I've never met him.
He's your best friend?
No, he's just a friend.
Okay.
He's good. He's a good guy.
All right.
So, yeah, we played that, and then last night, finally, we got Brian to install the whopping update to Call of Duty Black Ops 4. So that was ready, so we jumped into there, and buddy, let me tell you.
Please.
It's just kind of a shit show. Like, I'm so bad.
Is it a shit show because you're bad, or is it just a messy game?
I mean, I think the game is fine.
Mm.
I don't know, because I'm not really staying alive very long in these matches. But you know, you respawn, you take three steps, you take three to the head, and then you respawn. It's just kind of crazy. And then like the problem is like the matchmaking in the game, it seems a little lopsided. Like either it's a complete blowout of a win, or you know, you get blown out. Like it doesn't feel like there's strong competition. I haven't played a close game yet.
See, could it be because maybe you're new and it doesn't really know how to calibrate you just yet? Or
I mean, that could be. You know, I've spent maybe 3 or 4 hours in the game. I'm not bad, but I'm not good. And there's some of these people that you just like. I watch their kill cams, and I'm just like, "How are you doing this? How did you know where I was? How did you get your gun up that fast? How did you fire that steadily?" It's just embarrassing. But it's still kind of fun. So I still beat my head against the wall to play it a little bit. And this is a pretty robust Call of Duty Black Ops release. There is no single player story campaign.
That's kind of a bummer for a guy like me.
It's a bit of a bummer.
Who hates other people,
right?
In my games, especially.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. But you know, there's a traditional multiplayer mode with all the, you know, different match styles like the domination and team deathmatch and all that stuff. And then there's the zombies mode, which is a co-op zombie shooter mode. And then there is Blackout, which is the big battle royale. So like there's a lot here to play.
Right. You're not getting shorted.
No, you know. No, there's a lot of content, and you know, I paid $30 for it, so I can't be mad about it at all. But there's a lot to keep up with.
You think you've lost your step? You think you're getting old?
I'm definitely getting too old for the Twitch shooters.
Really? You can feel the age setting in.
Dude, like I see it.
Your bones hurt.
It's visible.
Wow.
How bad I am at this
game. I mean,
game.
It makes sense thinking about, you know, how much better I've gotten at Mickey. How much better I've gotten than Mickey at some of the classic games, and he's getting up there. I'm thinking, you know,
maybe
you
he's
guys,
peaking.
I think late 30s might be where
It might be where it starts.
I'm a young 30s man. I'm very vibrant, very fertile. Just had a little baby. I don't know what that means. Yeah. What am I saying? Potent.
Potent. I think that's better.
I can make a baby, and I also can beat Monster in my pocket, which is not also a euphemism for masturbation. But I'm just saying, like, I'm still a spry guy, and you guys are getting a little up there.
We are. Totally. What are you playing?
Oh, yeah, baby. Hey, holler. Let me see. Oh, Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Is it
the greatest game you've ever played?
You know, it's up there.
It's up there, okay.
It's really, really good, and it's crazy how many best games I've ever played I've played this year.
It's been a crazy, and you know, granted, the game came out almost 2 years ago, but you're playing.
Right, but I'm playing. Like, I think the games I played, was Super Metroid this year for us? It was last year.
No, it was this year.
Why didn't I mention it in
I think it was this year. God, I don't know.
Doesn't matter. All right, let's just pretend it was this year, okay?
I'll pretend
about the games that I've played this year that are, like, truly gems. Super Metroid being, like, you know, maybe an all-time classic. Breath of the Wild. Red Dead Redemption 2. Spider-Man. Persona 5. Like, just really good stuff. Like, it's Axiom Verge. Like, it's really heavy on me, all this weight dealing with all these good titles. I don't know how to play.
And you haven't even played God of War.
I don't even know how to be disappointed anymore. And I'm usually not. I enjoyed Super Bomberman R. I thought it was fine. Like, I'm not a guy that's just going to, you know, shit all over your games. But Breath of the Wild, dude, it's hard for me to not to
Super
say.
Super Metroid was last year. Sorry, I had to look.
Why does it feel so recent?
I don't know.
But anyway, so basically, it's hard for me not to say. It's like, I definitely, certainly among the greatest games that I played. But it took me so long to get there. Like I said, I'll bring it up. I don't like the Rooney stuff. I think it's weird. It's an excuse for, like, having technology, and I don't know. I've always been bothered by Rooney shit.
That's fine.
I could probably write a whole blog about just Rooney things, and that's R-U-N-E-Y, just Rooney
right.
shit.
Right, like, not like Mickey, the actor.
Right, he's fine. But like Prometheus, like when they got like Rooney stuff in it, it's like, oh, we found like some technology runes, you know, stuff like that. I'm like, why is this? If it's alien technology, wouldn't it be not just a rock with a shiny light on it? It's going to be like something, I don't know. It's shit like that. But once I got past the runes,
okay,
and then also I lived for more than a minute at a time because I was dying constantly.
You were going the wrong places, probably, right?
I think, you know, dealing with
being a little too
not having enough of the right weapons on hand and just kind of getting myself too far up a mountain and just bad guys just didn't stop coming, you know, taking a step back and really just taking it a little bit slower. It's been so good, man. I'm so addicted. So I do love it. I'm putting a lot of time into it. Diego Avila, noticed that I had put 40 hours into it. And I was like, really? Because, you know, it'll show what your friends have been doing. Yeah. I was like, dude, it feels like I've been in the game for like 15 minutes. Like, that's just how it is.
See, that's how it was with Red Dead. Like, I was literally at the 40-hour mark, and I was like, why does it feel like I just started?
Right. And yeah. I don't think I would have ever, like, certainly... having the Switch and it being much more accessible for me right now is the only reason why I switched back to Breath of the Wild.
Sure.
Like, I didn't give up Red Dead for anything Red Dead did. I can't wait to get back. But I think I'm just at the end of Act 3, so I thought it was a good time to, if I'm going to take a little bit of a break.
Once you start Chapter 3 or Chapter 4, you'll be kind of upset with yourself if you don't figure out where things go at that point.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
That is if you mainline the story.
Right.
And you can still do what you want, but
and I'm high on a lot of games. If I have fun with it more than 10 minutes, I'll just fucking suck it up.
Yeah,
I love it.
You love it.
I'm not. You know,
nothing wrong with that.
I'm easy guy to impress.
Yeah,
I'm a very uplifting guy. I don't like to hate on games too much.
Right, because we get video games like
we're like the
second generation ever that got video games in the history of the universe. We get them, so I'm not mad at them.
Yeah, I just want to have fun,
yeah,
man. And I'll find a good thing about it, which is why I moved on to Shining Soul 2. Now, you remember, this was like my... Shining Soul was like my least favorite thing
you
in
hated
2018.
It. You hated it. You wish you got those hours back.
I wish I had several of those hours back. I could have put them in the Breath of the Wild, for crying out loud.
But look out.
I was curious, and I was like, hey.
What about Shining Souls 2?
Can it be better?
Can it?
And it turns out it actually is... the same game, but it's polished enough that it actually is a better experience. It's like they took the same recipe, which was this trite rote dungeon crawl, into what is now a better trite
dungeon
rote.
Oh, it's a rote. Okay, it's a rote.
Rote.
Oh.
It's just repetitive.
I got you. Yeah.
Dungeon crawl. And that's the thing, too. I've been playing it, and I'm like, why is this better? I'm liking it more, but I cannot even pick out what's different about it. But just little things here and there that they did. So
quality of life improvements, maybe.
Yeah, like if I gave Shining Soul 1 a hard 3,
okay,
this is a 6.
Oh,
it's a little better.
Usually twice as good.
Yeah, not the greatest game, but it's better.
Okay,
it's a good mindless kind of romp. So
sure,
Shining Soul 2, I've been working on that. I'm really close to beating it, so I'll probably have that beat next time we get together, Jake.
Very cool.
And also, you lent me a golf store. I got that kicking around.
Yeah.
Still in the cellophane. You mind if I undo that?
Of course not.
Take that. Man, if I strip it off, it down, play it.
Okay.
All right, cool, man. Thank you.
Yeah. So for me, I did pick up during the sale there on PlayStation Network. It wasn't a huge discount, but it was enough to make me go ahead and pull the trigger. And that was the Castlevania Requiem Collection, which includes Symphony of the Night and Rondo of Blood.
Great games.
So, like, I've been wanting to get into these. Symphony of the Night's one of those games that I need to play. I need to beat. And
saving the best for last, I see.
Yeah. So, I started off with Rondo of Blood, and I love it. I really do. Like, I feel like I'm roughly 20% through the game. I haven't really beat my head against the wall with anything. It feels much more accessible and much more forgiving than, like, the original Castlevania, but still some challenge. And, you know, I love the level design, love the artwork, love the music. And this is a... You know, it's honestly, they really didn't do anything to the game at all to like remaster or make it better or anything. You know, I'm playing on a modern console with a better controller. Obviously, that helps. But, you know, you can adjust like the size of the screen and whether or not you want, you know, a border around the old TV look. And you can put like scan lines on it. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, very cool.
So you can do that if you want, which, you know, I opt to have none of that present. Just like give me the original size and just a stripped down version. But I think I'm on the fourth chapter of the game. So
moving along nicely then.
Yeah, not bad. But yeah, I love the little boss fights. Those are challenging, but not super difficult. And I imagine I'll beat that soonish. It's not something I'm, you know, dying to beat because there's no strong narrative there. But yeah, I like it.
Nice, man. I can't wait for you to start Symphony of the Night.
Yeah,
I'm
looking forward to it.
I almost want to replay it. That's high on my all-time list as well. And
nice.
Almost feel like I breezed through it when I played it, and I kind of want to go back and
revisit.
Because there's some secrets in there I probably overlooked or missed.
No doubt.
I'd like to go back and try it again.
No doubt.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that does it for that.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we're nuking our backlog.
Yeah, totally forgot to mention that.
Yeah, wiping it clean.
Yeah, just boom.
Starting a new thing here.
Boom,
Jake,
boom,
part of the rules. So real quickly, because I don't know how long we've been going. We're
fine.
We're going to get to. We're going to say that our backlog, we want to cap it. When we add games to the backlog here on the show, we cap it at 10.
Yeah.
No games can enter until a game leaves.
Right.
Now, a game can leave, obviously, by beating it.
Yes.
If you retire it, though, you got to give it a shot. You can't just put it on and take it off willy-nilly. Yeah. Got to give the old college try and really be sold on the fact that you're not going to come back to it. We're going to take it a little bit, like wrangle it in a little bit.
Yeah,
make it
a little less fast and loose.
Put some stakes on it.
Yeah, put some stink on it.
Put some stink.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. Put that on it. So that's what we're doing. So I guess technically games that are on my backlog currently will be Breath of the Wild because I'm playing it.
Sure.
Red Dead 2 because I'm playing it. Shining Soul 2 because I'm playing it. Mm-hmm. And Golf Story because I just added it. So four games right there.
You got room for six more.
I got room for six more. I'll add them as the episodes come.
You can have a bonus floater if you want one.
Now, we have talked about having a bonus floater because we liked the way that rolled off the old tongue.
I like saying bonus floater.
And we got to have a bonus floater.
I don't even know what it is, though.
Maybe it's a game that you don't know much about, but you add it to your backlog. You'll try it. If you don't like it, kick it off.
Boom. I like it.
All right. Cool. I don't quite have a bonus floater yet.
I don't either.
If I had to pick one, a Golf Story is kind of my bonus floater, but I kind of know what I'm getting into there.
You know what you're getting into.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So you got Blops and Rondo there on your backlog?
I do. I have a total of 10. I mainly play on three systems, so it's kind of like three of each plus one that can kind of go anywhere.
Are you saying your limit is you don't have 10 yet? But
no, I have 10.
Oh,
I've already defined my backlog.
You've got 10 games.
I've got 10 games
already
in the chamber.
Jesus.
Yeah. So I'll run through those real quick.
Real quick.
So on Xbox One, kind of forgot to mention this is a pickup, but it's not a collection pickup, so that's fine. Battlefield V. Got that for $30. It's not five, it's V.
What does the V stand for?
Victory. Mm-hmm. European Victory Day. So Battlefield V, there is a small single player component to it that's called War Stories, and I think there's like four chapters where you play through with some random character in a different part of or a different theater of the war. So excited to play through those. I like single player, multiplayer shooter stuff. Actually, I had a lot of fun with the first level. It kind of reminded me of like, did you ever play Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes?
No.
So basically that was like a 2-hour prequel to the full Metal Gear Solid 5, and it was this big map, and you kind of had to sneak your way around and snipe people and disarm things and let people out of cells and stuff. And that's how this first level played a lot, in my opinion, was like Ground Zeroes, where it's just this big map. You drop in, you got to sneak up, not set any alarms, set a bomb on an airplane. Really fun.
Huh.
So that's on the backlog. That should take, and this is on Xbox One. Assassin's Creed Odyssey on the backlog.
You just recently finished Origins, is that right?
Yeah, well, earlier this year.
Right.
I guess it was this year. Maybe last year.
Who knows anymore?
I don't know. Shadow of the Tomb Raider, also on Xbox One.
Okay.
So on PS4, I have Persona 5.
Got to do it, man.
Got to do it. Detroit Become Human.
Please do it. Talk
Nier
about it with
Automata.
Me. Great crop right there.
And the Castlevania Requiem.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Four on that one.
Yeah, four on
so
that
10
system.
Across three systems.
Yeah, and then on Switch, I have Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Got to do it.
Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Octopath Traveler.
Three honkers. I know all those
big
are
honkers.
Pretty long.
Well, Super Smash, I'm working on it. Yeah, it's like 20, 30 hours.
I heard it was more.
But I'm working now. It's 20 or 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, that's my backlog. You're welcome.
Very cool, man. I'll add more as they come along.
Do it.
Very cool. All right. So, discuss all about those resolutions for the new year.
Yeah. Now, We did a good job.
We did a great job.
I mean, 11th hour.
Certainly.
But we did
it. Took us a year, which it should.
It's fine.
Me personally, five videos about the collection, did that with all the pickups.
Okay.
Did the beat a game on a bunch of systems. Of course, that came down to the 11th hour. And beat five fighting games.
It's amazing. Yeah.
And you did new videos.
I did new videos. I suspended my game buying for 6 months. And I beat a big honker RPG that was on my backlog.
Very good. Now, it was actually, like, those were pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of difficult for me to come up with new ones.
It was. And honestly, if I'm not badly mistaken, we just kind of rolled most of those over from the previous year, right?
I want to say so, yeah.
If not a carbon copy, very close.
Certainly.
So, like, this year we kind of wanted to challenge ourselves in how we approach these resolutions, because we didn't want them to be too easy. We also didn't want them to sort of repeat, because we've already proven that we can do some of these things. Like I can, you know, restrain myself from buying games for 6 months. I can beat a big RPG. I can make videos. I think that's going to be a bit more of a routine thing now anyway. So it's kind of like not a big deal.
Yeah.
And same with you, you know, you're
certainly.
Yeah. So like, I think we wanted to come up with some ideas, and I think we arrived at some pretty cool, gaming centric
right.
Resolutions.
Not overly specific, because I think if you're like, I want to beat this game, we'll just put it on the backlog. It's not a resolution.
Exactly.
But here, we're kind of leaving it open-ended and maybe with the opportunity for listeners to direct us to where we should go to start. And so my first one is to just beat a Pokemon game.
Now, you've never beaten one. You've dabbled, though.
Dabbled a little bit.
How much is a little bit? A few hours on different games? One game?
So back before I was a big collector boy, when I realized I could get an emulator on my phone, I emulated like an old Game Boy version of Pokemon and maybe got a few hours in. And I got the loop. I got why it was fun, why it was addictive. But I really am Pokemon ignorant. Like, I really kind of ignore Pokemon talk because I know it's not for me. I'm not going to get it. But I kind of want in on the ground floor, and I'd like to know what's a good starting point if I want to appreciate the entire lineage of Pokemon, but also still have fun with Pokemon.
Right.
I don't want to go for the new flashy thing, but also don't want to go for the old
arcade
first thing. So what's a good one? I don't know. Maybe somebody can point me in the right direction. I know you had a suggestion.
I did. Now, sadly, you don't have the one that I would recommend or don't have access to.
The only one I have is Leaf Green.
Right. The one that I think advanced. That would be the best for you to start on.
And I'll go buy whatever.
Would be Sun or Moon. Now, those are on 3DS, and I don't think you're going to go buy a 3DS to play a Pokemon.
No, probably not.
So, like, that would be my number one.
Okay.
Just because I think they improved a lot of the quality of life stuff. They removed some of the, like, smaller management stuff. But given what you have access to, I think Pokemon Yellow is a good one. It's a Game Boy. But it's still a little more streamlined. You already have your starter. It's a little more contained, I think, than the bigger ones. But, you know, it's not going to be super flashy, but it's still just as fun. Because the joy in that game is the collecting and is the combat. And that's kind of most of what that game is.
Yeah, I do have, of course, a Game Boy.
Right.
Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, and a DS. I basically stop at
Super Game Boy.
It's only one I don't have.
You should get one. There's some great games for it. I'm not saying collect for it, but there's some great games on there.
I certainly have thought about it, and it's just, I don't know, I've just not been pushed hard enough yet.
I'll push you.
Do it.
Real good.
I can bring it on. I told you I'd fight anybody. Fiery.
Yeah.
So what's one of yours? I know that a lot of ours are franchise driven.
Yeah, this year, that's kind of the direction I went with my resolutions. There are some gaming franchises out there that I just haven't really touched or have touched lightly and would like to get more informed in the series. So the first one, and this one is also a bit of a point of contention as to where to start, but is to beat a Kingdom Hearts game. You know, these things are, well-loved, people just adore them. They've been frothing at the mouth for this Kingdom Hearts 3.
The best place to froth.
Yes.
If you want to froth.
Where should the froth drip?
Be at the mouth.
Yes.
Yes. I have a PSP Kingdom Hearts game, so if someone says that one, I'll lend it to you.
Okay. I know that there's like a collection now on PS4.
Oh, that's right.
Like a 1.5 and a 2.5 remix or some shit. Like, I don't even know what half of this stuff means.
I don't get the numbers. It's like...
they don't matter. I don't think they matter. Because there's like 328 and a half days dream drop distance. I mean, I don't know what half of that shit means. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't think. It probably matters.
33 and a third and all that.
I'm sure there's a great Wikipedia article or some blog post that I'll be like, here's where to start.
We just want someone to tell us.
But yeah, just somebody tell me.
Just reach out on Twitter, tell Jake.
You know what
hey,
I like.
Start here. Yeah, so, you know what? If you listen to the podcast, you're familiar with what Jake's into.
You know what I like.
Where would he like to start?
Exactly.
You know? I feel like it's a narrative-driven game. People might just say the beginning.
But yeah, but the problem is, like, chronologically, these games were released out of order.
That is true.
So I don't know if that means anything. It's kind of like, which Star Wars do you watch first? I'm like, well, do you start at the good ones or do you start at the beginning of the story?
Like the Ender game novels. It's like they're all over the place. Where do you start?
Exactly. So yeah, that's my first one.
Cool. I have a similar one to what I had last year where I said, you know, some of these systems that I don't focus on enough, really the systems I do focus on the most are my contemporary ones and like my NES, Super Nintendo, Genesis.
Right.
Those are like my mains.
So you've got kind of a gap.
I have a gap. There's some systems that I've procured through collecting and some have just fallen right in my hands that I don't feel like I give enough attention.
Yeah.
And they're expensive pieces of dying technology. They're not going to last forever. I should get the most out of them. So I need to kind of motivate myself to play some of the games that I have on them.
Do it.
So I want to beat a game. Once again, I got four systems picked out here that I think I need to focus a little bit more on.
Okay.
One is the 3DO.
All right.
The Master System, again, I took that off this year. I'm going to try to get a game on there that is beatable.
Okay.
Not just an easy one. I'm going to try to get a good one on there, like maybe a Wonder Boy or an Alex Kidd or something. Saturn, again, that's carryover. I beat one this year, but I'd like to get another one. And Dreamcast, because I finally got my Dreamcast working.
That's incredible.
I might add a game right here to the backlog.
It was
Elemental Gimmick Gear.
Ooh.
It was a gift not really a gift. I bought it from him, but it got a good deal from P1
okay.
of the Cartridge Club.
Nice.
Back when he used to be alive and a member of the Cartridge Club.
I remember those days.
Rest in peace. And I want to get that and play it.
Awesome.
On the Dreamcast. So that's one I'm adding. That's hopefully one that I finish on the Dreamcast.
Very cool.
Yep.
All right. Next for me is similar to my first one, but this is to beat a Final Fantasy game.
Are you telling me, Jake? Mm-hmm. And in your long, long days as a, what are you, 49 now?
I'm close to old, it.
Because like I said, you're dropping off. And
I am.
Your performance, both sexually and gamingly. You've not beaten a what?
Final Fantasy.
You've not beaten a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, I've not. Now, I've dabbled.
Of course.
I'm more of a dabbler.
If you're alive and you've touched a controller, you've probably dabbled
in a Final Fantasy game. Now, there's going to be some obvious places where people will tell me to go because everybody kind of has their favorite, right?
Right. The good thing is
there's no bad place to start.
And there's no chronological issues.
Right. There's no contiguous stories,
pretty much.
So, like, I have Final Fantasy 15 on my Xbox One. So
now, I've heard people that beaten it are a little unhappy with the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've also heard that. There's Final Fantasy VII. That's another logical place to start.
Big one. Yeah.
But I think I'm going to play... Yeah, I could be wrong about this. But they are releasing a couple on Switch that I'm going to probably find myself playing. And that is either 10, which is one that I have dabbled in a bit.
I put a good amount of time in 10, actually.
Yeah. I think they're doing 10 and 10 2 as a package, and 12, the Zodiac Age.
A little Blitzball.
Yeah, Blitzball. So I think maybe one of those might be where I jump in, because they're both getting Switch releases, and you know I'll need to pick them up anyway if they're physical, which I assume they will be. So I think that's probably where I'll jump in. If you got another suggest.
Yeah.
Yeah, hit me.
Yeah.
I probably don't want to play 7, because I've started that several times. I'm just not feeling the dated stuff.
It's tough.
It's a little painful for me.
Yeah, I personally, I always go classic. I never really got it. After 10, I really fell off. But the classics, what is 2 and 3 on the Super Nintendo, mm-hmm. which are 4 and 6,
right,
in the timeline, and 6 may be probably the better one.
Okay. I think it's coming to Switch too. Like, there's a whole swath.
I thought
of
it
them.
Was. Yeah. I thought that's what you were going to say, actually.
Oh, okay.
But that could be a good one. I mean, it's obviously the old, you know.
Sure. Yeah. I don't mind the old, real old style. It's just that intermediary.
Yeah.
That's a little painful.
7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
A little tough to.
Which I think even like 9 would be okay, but 7's just in that awkward, you know, pre-adolescent.
Why not just wait for the remake if it's ever going to come?
Sure.
Take it.
And I know how the story ends because that's been spoiled for me for years.
Of course.
So, there's no huge draw. But these other games, I don't really know much about the characters or the narrative and all that. So,
yeah, go get it, man. Yeah. That's good. So Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy, I will say, two big RPGs.
Big? But I'll prove it.
Can you do it? You got Persona 5 already on there.
I beat a 90-hour game this year.
You did.
So welcome.
And you also have Persona 5 on there as well.
It's been there for a couple years.
You're setting yourself up for failure already.
A little bit.
Day one. All right. So the last one for me, feel like I don't do this enough. Now, the Cartridge Club does great things for us. They give us a forum. There's a lot of listeners that come from the Cartridge Club. They have ads that they use to promote our show. And we've been on their shows a lot.
Yeah.
And I need to make it a point to play more
of those CC
of those games.
Games
of the month. Yeah. And they got some good ones coming out.
Right.
Of course, Shantae being this, I've already...
Shantae.
I've already played Half Genie Hero. Enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah.
That's a good one. But I'm going to play along with a couple CC games of the month this year.
Okay.
I'm not putting a number on it, but
you got your eye on any of them?
Well, there's one I'm probably going to be on the show for. I don't know if I should spoil that yet. I'll let the Cartridge Club take care of that.
Oh, okay.
But one in addition to that.
Okay.
You know, just one like on my own.
Gotcha.
I'm not really signed up for. And then also a portable game Curtis and the gang, they do a really good job with those portable games and they're fun. So do more of that.
Sweet.
So a portable and prime Cartridge Club game of the month game.
At least one of each.
Because I usually will like kind of track everyone's progress. I'm like, oh, that's a good choice. Like DuckTales was this month.
Right.
I've already beaten it, but I didn't play along involved. But I see everybody having fun doing that. I kind of want to do it a couple times.
So I gotcha.
I don't feel like obligated to play them all, but
right.
Play a couple.
Yeah.
Get in there. Enjoy it.
Very cool. All right. So finally for me, I guess that was your final one. So because we're going to do threes like we have been.
Yeah.
My final resolution here.
Resolution.
For 2019, resolution, if you will, is to beat a Resident Evil game.
Holla at it.
So horror is not my bag. That's obvious. Yeah. I don't play horror games unless I'm like bro-opping with you and Briz. Obviously, we played through and maybe prayed through The Evil Within, which I kind of ended up feeling kind of meh about at the end.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it definitely just, you know, it was clunky and it jumped bonkers. A shark. And
a lot of sharks,
you know,
jumped.
I don't mind the bizarre nature of the horror aspect, but I feel like it was just disjointed, which was kind of written into the game as kind of an excuse. Two. Yeah, it overstayed as well.
Never end, yeah.
So, anyway, I've got two Resident Evil games that have the Revelations collection, mm-hmm. 1 and 2. I don't know if they should count because they're kind of Resident Evil adjacent.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 0 is coming to Switch this year, so the prequel.
I think I think the Resident Evil 2.
Uh-huh. That's big.
That
and
might
that's
be
soon.
One to start on.
Yeah.
I wish there was a good way to play that Resident Evil remake that came out on GameCube. That's a good one. But it is, even though it's a remake, it's still a little dated. I think for you, and this isn't an expert opinion, it's just me like rooting you on. I think 4 is solid.
Yeah.
Any way you could play that.
Okay.
But 7's not a bad place to go. Now it's pretty scary.
Right. Yeah.
But it is certainly one of my favorite horror games of all time, if not like among my favorite games of all time. Like I enjoyed it so much. It was such a good game.
Awesome.
I would recommend that one. I thought it was a very sound game.
I'm honestly leaning toward the 2 remake.
Definitely,
just because
choice.
You know, I feel like I want to experience one of those stories from but I also want to not play a game that has those static camera views that sort of just drives me crazy. Like every time you enter a room, you have to reorient your thumb to which way you're going. And
certainly, 1 has that.
Yeah,
2 I think as well.
Yeah, 2 does.
But I think this remake doesn't.
No,
right?
It does not. It's an over-the-shoulder Resident Evil 4 style game. Yeah. So everything's rebuilt from the ground up. So. I know I have a friend who's going to be jumping in on that, so I might be able to just borrow his copy once he's done.
I think that's something Briz and I will certainly try.
Oh?
Being the Horror Brothers, we got to.
The
you're
Horror
welcome,
Bros.
You're welcome in on that. We got Evil Within.
Yeah.
It's nice to have as many bros as possible, because it does get scary, and sometimes I don't know if Brian's big enough to protect me.
Well, that's fair. I'm a big man.
You could protect both of us.
I could.
So that's what we need.
Okay.
So if you want to, I mean, any way we could play those games is great.
Right.
Those are great. I would almost say I would play 7 with you, but I've already experienced it.
No, I don't want you to do that.
But maybe VR.
No.
Yeah,
no. I'm way too big of a chicken.
Yeah, I'd flip my biscuits hard on that.
So hard.
That'd be throwing up. That's a euphemism for throwing up.
I understand.
Yeah. Well, that's good, man. I think that's a good group of resolutions.
So.
I had a few, like, I don't want to... I think my laugh is dumb. I don't want to laugh. I was like, nah, I'll probably still laugh this year.
You should laugh.
You know, stuff like that. It's like, maybe I should cut out roast beef, go back to ham, the real pink meat. But I was like, I love roast beef.
Roast beef is the
best. So I just settled on beating a few games.
There you go.
That's what I decided.
I like it.
As a podcast, though, I think it's not so much a resolution as a general goal for 2019.
Right.
And we're keeping it a bit ambiguous. But to double our listener base,
yeah,
I think we're proud of what we... I think 2018 was a great year for us.
Well, it was. We grew. I think the quality of our show improved.
I think so. We don't really... It's not like feedback that we've gotten... And it really doesn't even show, like, statistically, but I'm more proud of a lot of our recent episodes.
I think so, too, yeah.
You know, like, re-listens, I'm like, wow, this was actually... I mean, a lot of times in the early, like, first 60 episodes, I'd listen to it and be like, nah, I don't know, man.
I don't know if I'm cut out for this.
I didn't like this part, but now, like, feel very comfortable with kind of our format and what we're talking about. I'm very excited about getting in here, man. I don't know if you know this or not, but, like, every 2 weeks, this is, like, my favorite thing. I like this more than I like a lot of any other thing in my life that's regularly scheduled, which just so happens to be, like... work and dinner. This is like way up there.
I'm
actually really proud of it. And being, you know, this is we're embarking on our, what is this, third year? We started August of 2015, so almost 3 full years. And I think we're just now hitting that stride. It's hitting it. We'll say middle of the year, I think we hit it.
Fair enough.
You know, it took a while. But what I like, Jake, is that we, even when we're just having a Discord with one another, without a microphone, we talk to one another as if we're entertaining someone else in the room.
Well, we're kind of a, you know, we're kind of a comedy troupe.
Are we
amongst
though?
Our friends? People laugh at us
amongst
our friends. I mean, yeah, in person for sure.
In person for sure, which is a good excuse because people that listen to this aren't with us in person and they can't verify that that's true or not. But we are a hoot.
We are great.
I don't know about that.
No, we're not.
But people have said that all those guys are hoots.
They said we're funny.
Okay.
That's good enough.
So the last part of this discussion, what are we embarking on here? Was this 3.5 hours?
No. We're just a little over an hour.
Okay, and that's another thing, too. I wanted to cut back on those long, drawn-out episodes.
Yeah, if we can.
If we can. So 2019 games, and I've written here, games that get your willy wild, and that could be your male or female willy.
Yeah.
Whichever willy you got.
Yeah.
If you have a willy at all, anything that get you going for the 2019 games that are coming out.
Right, yeah. This is kind of in lieu of the radar section where
I spent too long on Willy, right?
That's fine.
I didn't know how to recover.
I'm just cutting in. We're going to move forward.
I just talked about how proud we are, and I went down a Willy well and couldn't get out of it.
You did. But yeah, this is, you notice we didn't have it on the radar at the top. That is not a segment that got cut, but just kind of starting off the year, we just kind of want to throw a wider net across the year about things that we're excited about. Obviously, as the year progresses, there'll be smaller increments and more games that pop up that we're going to be excited for.
So this segment is on the 2019 on the radar.
Yeah. So what's getting your willy wild here?
You know, the other day I was surfing YouTube, as you do.
Right.
You know,
you're all planked up there and
planked up there.
I don't know. Though. Yeah. I don't know what it means when you surf. You're hanging 10. Yeah.
Hanging all 10 of them there on the YouTube surfboard. And I found a video that was like hot games coming out in 2019. I got thinking, like, I was like, the only game I could think of on lack of sleep is Anthem.
Right.
And I don't even want to play it.
No one cares about Anthem. People care about Anthem.
Sure they do. But it's not a game that they didn't make it with Travis.
Oh, no, they did not.
So I watched this, and I was impressed with how many games I've completely forgotten about.
There's a lot coming.
One of them, I was like all excited again, was Doom Eternal.
Right.
Loved the original Doom, or the original remake of, reboot of Doom.
Doom 2016.
I loved it so much, and a lot of it was because of that Mick Gordon soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
And he's coming back. It sounds like it's going to be hot and heavy once again.
Can't wait.
Super excited for Doom Eternal.
Yeah, and also a cool thing about Doom Eternal this time around is it's day one Switch. So that's pretty cool.
Right on. I still think, as much as the Zupin and Zoppin would feel good handheld, because I only play the Switch handheld.
Right.
Zupin and Zoppin would feel good on the Switch. It's just so pretty that maybe on one of my higher res consoles it'd be better.
Boy, that's something I never thought I'd hear you say. That you would just get a prettier version of the
certain
game.
Certain games, like the Wolfensteins, the Dooms, you know.
All right.
Like a Breath of the Wild and a Mario Perfect on the Switch.
Okay.
Because they're not made for the high fidelity of a 4K TV. Never thought of. Nintendo doesn't know what 4K, they can't count that high.
They don't know what that means.
They get the 720 and then they stop. They're like, I don't know numbers after that.
Yeah, 720, 4 does not come after that. You guys are crazy.
But I don't know. Doom, it's pretty.
It's pretty. I'm with you. I'll probably get this on Xbox One with all those sweet Xbox One X enhancements and all that stuff. So it should be nice and pretty. But yeah, I'm excited for this one too. It's one that I'm not actively thinking about a lot, and I hope that helps me be really excited for it once it arrives.
I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm frothing at the... Where do you froth from?
Once again, it's the mouth.
Okay, I'm not frothing... not frothing there for this game. But I will be very ready once it arrives. One for me, Gears 5.
Dude.
That's coming, 2019. I know. I think it's 2019. I'm pretty sure it's 2019.
Coalition?
Yeah.
They're all of them now.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Did okay with the last one, I thought.
I liked it. I thought it ended a little abruptly.
I definitely thought so, too. Yeah. I wanted more, which is a good thing.
Right. No, yeah. I'm perfectly okay with that. I think that Phil Spencer said on the Game Awards that, you know, one thing I loved about Phil Spencer's bit was Jeff Keighley was like, hey, you've had a great year at Xbox. And Phil was like, we could do better. And I was like, I love you. You know, that's such an honest, candid thing to say. It's not saying, no, we had a shit year, because it kind of did. And also not like ignoring the fact that they need to do better. But pretty sure he confirmed that this comes out 2019. But yeah, okay. Gears 5, you know, I liked 4. I liked, you know, that they didn't change the core aspects of what makes Gears. But also added some new characters and new locations and a few new mechanics and guns.
And some callbacks. You got to have some callbacks.
Yeah, I felt like it maybe... The new one is going to be a bigger step away from the original, and I kind of hope so, because now it should be JD's show. It shouldn't be Marcus' show anymore. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, very cool. Last of Us 2?
That's hopeful for 2019.
Hopeful, yeah.
But it might, but I'm very excited for that game. I can't wait. It looks awesome. I'll probably call in sick the day that game comes out.
Like, you think so?
Yeah, that's a game that I would do that for.
You're frothing at the mouth.
A bit.
I got to stay home.
Mainly because I just don't want any freaking spoilers for that. And I know that because that is a narrative
It's big,
game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't want anybody talking about it to me
right
before I play it. So, yeah, I'm very excited for that. Days Gone, that's one that I'm excited for that I think everyone else has forgot about because maybe everyone's over zombies. Maybe they are. I don't know. I haven't played many zombie games lately, and I really want to play Days Gone.
It's weird that that is like the only zombie game left to come out. I guess what was the other ones?
Well, Dead Island is supposed to get a sequel.
Oh, okay.
Which I may have already. I don't know. I feel like it
hasn't. Another like survival game. That
Dying Light was getting a sequel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So I guess there's some others.
There's some others. But this looks, you know, I love the post-apocalyptic motorcycle gang, zombie bear. I mean, that looks cool.
Cool, man.
I like Sony Bend.
Resident Evil 2 Remake, we already talked about it.
Talked about it.
Excited about that.
Fire Emblem, Three Houses, Switch, can't wait.
Now, you always talk a big talk about these Fire Emblem games.
Yeah.
And have you beaten?
I have.
And which one?
Awakening.
And how long 3DS. Ago was that?
A couple of years.
9 years ago?
It's a while.
When you were a boy.
No.
It's, I feel like you talk about them and I never hear you play about
well,
them.
Well, I don't have anything to play them on right now.
You lost your 3DS for a few
for a Switch.
Years, DS or whatever. Yeah. You lost stuff. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just worried about you.
Don't worry.
You gonna get it? You gonna beat this
I'm gonna
one?
I'm going to get it. It's already pre-ordered. What's
it coming out on?
Switch. That's it.
Okay.
It's a Nintendo franchise. So,
well, I didn't know if 3DS was going to get a little bit of love there or something.
Nope. This is built for the Switch ground up.
Huh.
Very excited.
Look there. At you. Well, good luck. When is it coming out?
Spring.
Oh, so soon.
Soonish.
So another giant game that you'll probably not finish.
I'll have some other ones knocked off by then.
Sure you will.
You hush.
Rage 2.
Ooh, this one sneaks up on me. I kind of forget about it. And then I see it and I'm like, damn, that looks fun.
It was a surprise when we saw the...
Definitely.
Well, the leak, I guess, prior to the announcement.
Right.
I was one of four people that enjoyed the first Rage. I thought it was fine.
I thought it was okay, just a bit dull.
I don't come down on things often. I thought it was, yeah, it was a little dull, but there were parts of it I pleasantly enjoyed. Thought it was fine.
Sure.
But this was like a completely different flavor.
Oh,
this is like a spicy cotton candy.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
This one's going big.
And it feels like it's very inspired by the recent like Mad Max movie in some ways, which I guess the original Rage was too, but even more so this one. I'm kind of stoked for it.
Yeah. I like it. I like the tone.
Yeah, because it's being a lot of fun.
No multiplayer. Also like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just building a shooter game.
Which is weird. It looked like a game when I first saw the trailer. I'm like, this is probably going to have a lot of multiplayer.
Yeah. I'm glad they're not focusing on that.
That's good.
New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe.
Is that coming out soon?
That's like in the next 3 weeks.
Okay.
The 11th, actually. I think it's the 11th.
So it is on your radar.
It is on my radar.
Ha!
I guess technically on my radar. But yeah, I mean, I never got around to playing this collection because this is the Luigi one and the Super Mario Bros.
I didn't play the Luigi one. What's the big difference?
I think it's just a Luigi game. But I mean, it's a whole game.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just... Luigi's kind of forefront. I think it was released during the year of Luigi. Remember when Nintendo
I do remember did that? That. And I guess they were not going to do that again because I think they also had money on it.
Yeah, I think that was a dumb idea.
Stupid Luigi.
Poor guy. He's a bit of a whipping boy at this point. But yeah, I never got a chance to play these, and this is like, it kind of reminds me, obviously, of like Super Mario World style, and that's what I'm about with my Mario game, so I'm excited to play it.
Very cool. Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which sounds like an Opeth song.
It does.
But isn't a game featuring an owl.
Right.
I think it's an owl.
There's owls in it.
There's definitely an owl in it. Now, I enjoyed Ori and the Blind Forest
quite a
bit. A little difficult, mainly because I would forget to save.
That's a problem.
But
I was having that problem on Fallout 4. I would just forget to save and be like, shit.
Yeah, I know. Like, what year is it?
Like, why isn't this auto-saving? It should auto-save when I exit a building. Why isn't it?
But yeah, Will of the Wisp looks really good.
It does. I love the colors in those games,
and like the narrative sans any exposition, like there's no
right.
It's like a visual narrative.
Yeah, no one's telling
a lot
story.
Of weight. Yeah. It's good.
Good.
It's really good.
Awesome.
And it's also it's a Metroidvania game,
right?
With really, I guess, skill based platforming involved. So it's like Meat Boy meets Metroidvania, which
okay.
is really cool.
Yeah.
It's also kind of frustrating at times. At least Blind Forest was. I imagine this won't be too different. But
sure,
fun games.
Cool. That'll be Game Pass day one, too.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
I should sign back up for that.
They're doing good things. They're doing God's work. A couple more for me. Both of these are Switch exclusives. Luigi's Mansion 3. That's coming?
I'm excited about that.
I mean, that's the working title. It'll probably be different at some point. But, man, I love Luigi's Mansion. I wish I could play Dark Moon. I just never got around to it. But I still get nostalgia when I hear the music and when I see Luigi and the mansion and sucking the ghosts up and the... what was it called?
Vacuum cleaner thingy.
Yeah, but they had a name. It really,
yeah, I can't
Poltergust, the Poltergust.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I really loved that game. It was the first game I got from a GameCube, so there's some cool nostalgia.
Oh, yeah.
And then the big surprise, I guess, kind of the Game Awards, at least for me in terms of Switch, is their coup of landing an exclusive deal to get Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
Now, I didn't really watch much of the Game Awards. What is this?
Did you ever play Marvel Ultimate Alliance?
Fighting game?
One or two. No, it's more like a, I don't know, it kind of feels more like Diablo, but it's with Marvel heroes.
I never have.
Well-loved, beloved little franchise, and they're releasing the third one exclusive to Switch.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
So, you know, you get all your Marvel characters, and they're not based on the MCU, so they can kind of put together anybody that they want. And they're the more comic book versions of themselves, not the movie versions of themselves.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm really excited to get into that because that's perfect for handheld Switch, that style of game. So very excited for that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't even know about that game.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Get with it.
Learn something new every day. All right. Well, we've done a podcast. We nuked our log. You already filled yours back up like an idiot.
Like an idiot.
With a bunch of games you'll probably never beat.
Never. I'll beat them.
Hopefully.
Just you watch.
All right. Well, if you have any direction you can give us on Pokemon, Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy, or Resident Evil games, and I think we're okay on Resident Evil. We'll probably figure that one out on our own. But certainly Pokemon and Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
I'd like to know where to begin.
Where do we start?
That'd be good. Be good to know. All right, guys. Well, that's been it. I am Trav Plays Games on Twitter.
I am at the McAxel on the Twitters.
Together we are at Polykill, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.